welcome to Radio Oldie, sponsored by Baillie Gifford Actual Investors. Looking beyond today's headlines, Baillie Gifford backs exceptional companies driving progress and helping investors benefit from long-term growth.
Hello and welcome to Radio Oldie with me, Harry Mount, editor of the Oldie, talking to Charlotte Metcalf, editor of the Oldie Supplements.
Hello.
And today we're going to talk about theatre.
If not, argue about theatre, because possibly. I love it. You're not so keen.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that you're not so keen, because actually there's a lot of very good stuff about Witness, High Society, which our wonderful theatre critic William Cook has said. What's the happiest evening you've ever spent in the theatre? In 50 years of theatre going, I can think of remarkably few contenders. I'm often exhilarated and occasionally moved to tears, but pure, unadulterated happiness? Hardly ever, which is why this frivolous, harmless musical is such a rare, delicious treat. That's about High Society. Now, Harry, why aren't you going to go and see it immediately after that?
Because I absolutely love the film of High Society. I watched it again the other day. With some of my heroes, Bing Crosby, Frank Sinatra, and the unbelievable Grace Kelly.
Yes.
And when Bing and Grace sing True Love, completely heartbreaking. I downloaded it on my phone and listened to it on my bike on the way into work. It's a work of great genius. Cole Porter, unbelievable. The reason why I hardly ever go to the theatre is not because of disliking theatre generally, it's just because the hit rate of good ones is so low. I used to go to the theatre a lot from my childhood, my parents took me. And it wasn't until about my late 20s or early 30s that I realised the hit rate of plays where you had brilliant plays written by brilliant people with brilliant actors and actresses is vanishingly small. And I would say about 5% of the plays I've seen have ticked all those boxes.
Well, I do agree, and some of them are not better than others, but there's such sensational stuff around, and we are living, I believe, in the theatre capital of the entire world.
And that's probably true, yeah.
And I think our national theatre is second to none. And I just, there's this one quote I'd just like to run past you. So when I interviewed quite recently the executive director of the National Theatre, Kate Farrer, she just said this thing, which was, there is nothing like the experience of that rare moment, that alchemy that happens when 1,000 people are in the same space sharing similar emotions. Now, you either love that or you hate that, and you probably...
No, I don't hate that. I can completely agree with that.
Yeah.
And when I've seen that, and in fact, I remember someone at a school play when I was 16 playing Hamlet. He's now a barrister. And he just had it.
It was
completely brilliant. And it is a thing.
Yeah.
It's like being good at football.
Yeah.
You can do it, or singing, or you can't do it. And it's so binary that you can tell in a second, and quite often in plays put on by the greatest companies on earth, quite a few of them are not terrible. They can't really do it. They don't have that, exactly your quote, that sublime quality.
Of everybody just gripped in that one moment. What's so interesting about theatre, I think, is it's, and where London is just incredible with its smaller theatres, which is far better, I think, than off-Broadway and all that, is that it's not just those big plays, it's those little plays. I mean, I saw Richard Gadd do Baby Reindeer as a one-man show at the Bush Theatre.
I love the TV version of that, yeah.
And it was just incredible. I mean, everybody was absolutely so gripped. I don't think anyone spoke for the hour it took for him to deliver that. And there are things like that. It's not just about going to the big theatres. So, for example, recently I saw Arcadia, which obviously, you know, the timing of it.
Yeah.
With Tom Stoppard having just died.
Tom Stoppard, who I think is an unbelievably brilliant playwright, and I've seen many of his plays, which I've loved. but then occasionally the people acting it aren't great.
And also, so we're going to get on to the length and the comfort in a minute, but it was so long, it was at the Old Vic, and it was brilliant, of course. But actually, secretly, I preferred going up to Finsbury Park and seeing Indian Ink, which was a much, much earlier play he wrote for Felicity Kendall. And the interesting thing was, she had played the young part, and now she was playing the older part.
But you're saying in both cases it was well acted. And so that's great. So I don't want to be too kind of reactionary. I believe you just interviewed Margaret Drabble about the problem with seats.
I did. No, it was so funny. We were talking about her latest book on Radio Oldie. But we were talking about it, and she's just given it up. Because she said, where is the cinema? You know, it tends to be air-conditioned. There's somewhere for your drink. You know, they've built them all to be spacious. Most of our London theatres are not new. So you've still got to do that awful sort of wriggle in with your bum in somebody's face and balancing your plastic glass of wine. And it's really uncomfortable if you want it. And the cost of wine is...
I believe Rupert Christensen, the brilliant former opera reviewer for the Telegraph, said, and I admire him for this, that he used to smuggle in his own little flask of white wine, nice wine, but I think he said something like 18 quid
for a nasty glass
of wine. Yeah. And I understand that the cost of these places are enormous, but you can see what they are basically competing with, which is very difficult, is your own sofa and your own fridge stocked with your own reasonably priced wine and food. And the extraordinary combination of channels on telly, and most importantly, the power to turn over or switch off and go to bed.
Okay, so question to you then.
Yeah.
I know you like your sofa and your fridge.
Yes.
So, and you'd far rather be there than, sitting in a cramped theatre dying for a pee and,
Well, unless it's brilliant, yeah.
But would you... Would you watch a play from National Theatre Live, say, because you can subscribe to that now at home? Would you try that?
I have tried that.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I'm afraid it highlights... I've only done it a couple of times, so it's invidious of me to say this always happens, but it highlights how stagey, literally, so much theatre acting
is.
That's
so interesting.
You see people... crazily overacting in a way that they never would on film. Films, costing a huge fortune with thousands of editors, producers, directors, they can keep on doing it, and very rarely do you see bad acting.
Well, I think when you say bad acting, it's not the acting they're doing in the theatre is not designed really to be on our screens, but they do that to make theatre more accessible because we still have cultural black spots in this country, without enough theatre. So if you talk to, Kate Farrow at the National Theatre, she'll say that they're very keen on their National Theatre Life, but I agree, it's not the same watching it on film.
And that's a good point about it's different acting, but at the same time, the brilliant actors, those who, like Ken Cranham says, can do it. I watched because of the death of Norman Ballon, the great landlord of the Coach and Horses.
Yes.
I watched again the brilliant Jeff Bernard is Unwell, with Peter O'Toole playing Jeff Bernard in the Coach and Horses, and it's a filmed version of the play. And even though Peter O'Toole is, as it were, stagey, he is also brilliant.
Yeah.
And it's a masterpiece. So I take your point. They're two different things. Quite often, you can see people on stage are having a much better time than you. And sometimes, even things like Shakespeare, you can tell they don't really know what's going on. It's going dum da dum da dum da dum da dum da dum da dum. I've got a friend who's an actor who did a radio Shakespeare with a nice old boy who was, as it were, doing Macbeth and going da-dum, 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 da-dum. And the producer in the booth said, that was absolutely marvellous, darling, but you missed two pages. And
oh, my goodness, that's hilarious.
And this going on. And that's a minority. But it all goes to my point of this incredible jeopardy in going to the theatre.
Have you ever...
Cost. getting their
comfort,
seats, loos, wine, etc., etc. When it's good, it's fantastic. So perhaps I should go to high society, and I could well be proved wrong, but I think it's unlikely you will reach the heights of Frank Sinatra, Grace Kelly, Bing Crosby, Louis Armstrong.
Okay, that's a fair enough point, but have you been to Regent's Park Open Air Theatre?
I went there a lot as a teenager because I was brought up near there, but I liked it as a child, I must admit.
It's a fantastic theatre, and I've been going a lot. I mean, I go every year without fail, probably, you know, to everything they do, because it's so beautiful there. They've got a new artistic director who's much more into dance and choreography, and I saw Brigadoon there last summer as it got done. It was just... That really is a magical thing, and that you do get that thing of lots of people sitting in the dark having this extraordinary.
Yeah, well, I should try. And things like, actually, I do, I'm very ignorant about opera, but I do go to Glyndebourne every year. I'm going there later this summer to see Tosca, because I go to the kind of greatest hits, but also whenever I've gone every year, I suppose the last 10 years, you couldn't be an opera singer in any of those productions and not be able to sing. They are all absolutely brilliant. I mean, aficionados might say one's not so good as the other, but they have a certain talent. It's like acrobats or playing football, like I said.
Yeah, you can't fall off your trapeze.
So there is a massive filtration process, which means to an ignoramus like me, they are all brilliant. Whereas with acting, we can all read words or learn words, and quite a lot of them aren't much good or are perfectly good, but they don't have that unbelievable magic, which I saw on Peter O'Toole. I saw it with my school friend doing Hamlet. And I could see, when you see that, it's sublime and wonderful, but it's a low percentage.
That's really interesting. Okay, so I'm not fully going to persuade you, but do go to Regent's Park over
there. Yes, perhaps Rudy, you and I should both go to high society and come back to talk about it. Yeah.
Yes, what a great idea. Right, what a note to end on.
Fantastic. Thanks so much to Charlotte Metcalf for appearing on Radio Oldie.
Well, thank you, Harry.
Hebridean Island Cruises have a rather special departure this September. Colin Montgomery is joining Hebridean Princess with 47 other passengers for a golf cruise through Argyll and Ayrshire, playing courses including the legendary Macrinish and the ancient links at Macri on Isla. But non-golfers are very much welcome too, with excursions ashore exploring castles and distilleries. This cruise is currently at 15% off with standard UK rail or air travel to the ship included. Visit hebridean.co.uk or search Hebridean Island Cruises. This week's podcast was kindly sponsored by Baillie Gifford Actual Investors, who take a long-term approach to investing in exceptional companies.